What's up, everybody? Welcome to Kinda Funny Games Daily for Friday, November 16th, 2018. I'm one of your hosts, Greg Miller, alongside the busiest lady in the business, Andrea Renee.
What's good, Greg?
Video games, Andrea, and finally getting to the weekend.
I know. I have been putting off finishing a couple things, so I'm going to try to wrap up some loose ends.
Like personal stuff or video games?
Video games.
I'm not winking it yet.
As soon as we started, do you have something in your eye?
Something in the left eye. Something's in the left eye. Oh my God, I'll power through. Don't worry.
Are you sure? Do you need to take a break?
No. God, no. Please. You play with the pain. You play with the pain. You know what I mean?
The show must go on.
Exactly. Come on. It started. Kevin?
Get him a tissue, would you, Kevin?
I did. No, it's already gone. It's already gone. It's blinked out.
Well, just in case you start tearing.
High outside. High outside.
Oof, oh, my God. Right, good job, Kevin. If you would hit your coffee, this would have been catastrophe.
Oh, man. We would be fine.
It was so
that's what the show
coffee.
Does.
Also, that's a roll of paper towels, not tissues.
You know, exactly. Sorry, you highfalutin what's good games people come
it's
through.
It's not about highfalutin. I'm just trying to make sure that you get the delicate tissue around your eye. You're not roughing it up.
What are you going
to
play? What are you going to play this weekend?
I kind of want to finish Red Dead, the story. Oh. Obviously, there's no like finishing that game. There's a lot of exploration.
It just becomes
to do.
Life. Are you close to the epilogue or whatever?
I don't know.
Gotcha. Gotcha.
I think I'm close to like 70%.
Okay.
So I think I still have a solid 10 to 15 hours to go, that's doable in a weekend.
Yeah. Where are you now with it? When we talked at, you know, review embargo, you're like, have you come around and you're enjoying it more? Or?
Yeah. So I got the opportunity to talk about it in depth with Jared on Red Dead Radio. Really talked about some of the things I'm really loving about that game. Obviously, some of the concerns I had or the quality of life pain point issues that I brought up still exist.
Yeah.
But it doesn't take away from the fact that it is a magnificent game in a variety of ways. And I've been allowing myself, now that the kind of rush to get the initial coverage up is done, to kind of take my time in some other areas.
Smart.
Brittany kind of told me too late, and I would also relay it to anybody else who's playing, that if you really are enjoying the exploration, stay away from the yellow missions, because there gets to a point in the story that there's like something that happens that will forever color the way you do the rest of the open world stuff. And I wish I had done more exploration and open world stuff before I got to that point, because it doesn't make it not fun, but it makes it not as fun. And I can't go into more detail. If you guys have played through, you probably know what I'm referring to, but just a pro tip.
Sure. Smart. Okay.
Do all the white side missions first.
Okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay. That's fair.
Yeah.
All right. That'll be fun.
Yeah. But we also talked about Fallout 76.
Oh, yeah. Are you going to play?
Yeah. It's installed. I'm ready.
You did. Of course, you go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames right now. You can get my in-depth thoughts on Fallout 76. I'm playing it right now. I currently am starting tonight. Jen's starting to play it with me tonight. Gary Whitta wants to be run through the wasteland tonight as well. You're jumping on too.
I'm in, yeah.
So you played the beta on Xbox. What did you come away thinking? Or feeling?
So I only played about 3 hours of the beta.
Yeah.
It was clear that there was a lot of issues. I was like, you know what? I know I'm going to play this game when it comes out.
Yeah.
I don't need to spend any more time in the beta.
Sure.
Especially since they got to fix some stuff. I am intrigued to see how the multiplayer is going to play out long term. Especially since Fallout is notoriously a single player game.
Yeah.
As it always has been.
Sure.
So I'm curious how that's going to work. I just saw a news story this morning that the first group set off a nuke drop.
Yeah.
So I know that when I was talking with the girls about it on What's Good, we were thinking of how is this going to work in the actual game once it launches. And so now we have a video of how exactly it's going to work. I'm not sure how I feel about that. Obviously, a level 95 enemy is way farther than what I'm ever going to be able to get to this weekend.
Sure. Yeah.
But I think those kinds of events are an interesting idea to see how they're going to handle them.
That is the big question for me, you know, two nights into playing Fallout 76 now, is how are they going to do group events? How is the world? What does the future of this content look like? What do the future of these events that pop up do? Like last night, I was running around, an event popped up. All right, I engaged, but it was just me. And I was able to, you know, through Fallout, you know, beat the thing and do the mission. And it took me a little bit longer because I was all by myself. And that was cool. But are there more stuff like that? Is it going to get to a point? Do I need to be rolling with a group at all times? And then it was, of course, you know, I came off of night one to do the Gamescast and was very much like, hey, man, I like this game. I'm surprised. I'm enjoying it. Don't get me wrong. Everybody's like, this game is shit because of X, Y, and Z. I can look at it and be like, yeah, I see all those problems too. I totally get where you're coming from, right? But I enjoyed myself and I was interested to play more. And you know, I teamed up with some rando the first night. I saw him doing the same mission, invited him to team. We were on the team. We did our mission. We bounced off and did our own thing. I was like, that's a really cool experience. Last night, I'm playing. I get a text from Scott Love, like, I'm in your world. And I was like, oh, shit. Ran over to Scott. He was with one of his friends. They were already teamed up. So there's this first, this is where it gets into such why I traditionally hate multiplayer stuff, right? I was already going to my next mission. I'm level 8, they're level 2. Ran up to them. Scott's waving at me, or Scott's, I had a mic on, and I was like, yeah. Oh, hey, man, blah, 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 and like, no response. I'm like, oh, waving at him. I'm like, all right, cool. Yeah, you know, I guess you're getting a mic, because we're just sitting there. And finally, he popped out. Can you hear me now? Yeah. He's like, okay, cool. We were in a team. I guess you can't hear me from another team. Oh, well, no big deal. I'm inviting you to a team. He's like, oh, I don't have the invite. I'm like, oh, okay. You invite me. I can't invite you, it says, because we're... Okay, wait, your thing just canceled. And it's 30 minutes of troubleshooting.
This is like every multiplayer game ever, though.
And it's... I know. And it's night 2, right? But it's like, all right, cool. Scott's like, well, I'm gonna relog. I'm going to quit out and come back. And like, we're all doing that. None of it's working. And I'm like, it worked last night with some rando. I wish it was working with you, because it is easy when it works. And he's like, all right, we can just all run around. I'm like, well, that kind of sucks, because like we can't see whose missions or what, blah, blah. Then I'm invite. Finally, Scott can join. Great. Invite to his friend over and over again. He can't join. We're sitting. It's just like, all right, I had 3 hours to play tonight. We've wasted 45 minutes trying to do this. I'm running south. I'll see you guys later. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
And
exactly.
So that was the thing that I found interesting about my first impressions of it, were I was enjoying it playing it alone and doing a normal Fallout thing. It is, you know, when people are like, it's an empty experience, or it's a more empty world. I get that, and I feel that. It seems like a lot of buildings aren't as... I can't go into, or you know, go into as many houses as I usually pass or whatever. So there are a lot of stretches of being on my own, but I don't mind that in a Fallout game. Like, I enjoy that part. I enjoy listening to the holotapes. But yeah, it was actually an interesting thing of like, oh, cool, now I'm going to have a team run with. And I was like, man, this totally fucked up my night and the mission I wanted to go do. I got to go see what this doctor's up to. I'll see you guys later. You know what I mean? But I'm excited to get there with you guys tonight, hopefully. Knock on wood.
We'll have to party up before we get into the game.
But that's the problem, is even if you're in the party, cool, you're in the same world. Now you got to join the same team, like inside of the thing.
There's not a way to have your party like in the lobby before you enter the world?
We'll see. Who knows? Oh, we'll see, but who knows?
I bet you somebody watching on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames knows.
Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. I haven't done any of the URLs. You just broke my brain, Andrew. If you didn't know, this is Kind of Funny Games Daily. Each and every week, on a variety of platforms, we run you through the nerdy video game news you need to know about. If you like that, be part of the show. kindoffunny.com/KFGD with questions, comments, concerns, bad PSN names for a little while longer, and everything else under the video game sun. Then tune in to watch us record it live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames. If you're watching live, we have a special job for you. Go to kindoffunny.com/you're wrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up, so we can set the record straight for everybody watching later on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and listening on podcast services around the globe. Housekeeping for you. Next week is Thanksgiving. That means no live shows, no Kind of Funny Morning Show, no Kind of Funny Games Daily. The Game Over Greggy Show, the Kind of Funny Games Cast, and Party Mode roll on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and youtube.com/kindoffunny. But none of the live stuff you'd traditionally expect. However, Black Friday, we are doing a stream that will be hosted on our channel for Amazon, highlighting the biggest deals and playing games from noon to 1:30. Then, on Cyber Monday, the morning show will be at 10 a.m. Kind of Funny Games Daily will be at 11, because from 1 to 4, we're doing a Cyber Monday stream featuring all of the best Amazon deals of the day. Come hang out. We're taking all the stuff we didn't do live for a week and putting it all together in one giant thing to catch you back up on your live hours watched. Then I'm going home for Thanksgiving. Remember, there is a Portillo's meet and greet Saturday, November 24th, 1 to 3 p.m. in Bloomingdale, Illinois at the Portillo's on Lake Street. Details are on my Twitter. I've heard rumors you're coming.
Yes. Is John Drake and I are going to come by.
Confirmed. All right. Wow. That's cool.
Yeah. I texted John this morning. I was like, I'm going to be on the show. I should confirm if we're going or not. Can you check with the parents? And he's like, yeah, well.
Are you bringing John's parents too?
The Drakes will likely not be.
Because then they can hang out with my mom too. My mom's going to be there.
I know. All right. But I'm guessing they probably have things to do. We'll probably do some shopping down there.
Sure. That makes sense.
Yeah.
And then We're reminding you one more time about the ESRB and Penny Arcade joining up for Join the Conversation. The ESRB and Penny Arcade are working together to start a conversation about video games, ratings, and how to make sure content is appropriate for all ages and interests. We want to hear from gamers, parents, and kids about how they use ESRB ratings, parental controls, and other tools to create an appropriate video game environment. You can join the conversation by telling your story and entering to win prizes such as a $25 GameStop gift card and a free grand prize trip for four to a PAX in 2019 of your choosing in North America. How do you enter? Head over to esrbconversations.org. Enter with a story, tip, caption, photo, or video about how you, your friends, or your family use ESRB ratings and other tools to keep video games fun and age appropriate. The contest is judged, so take your time and be creative. You don't need to be a parent to enter. They want to hear from everyone to join the conversation. Enter at esrbconversations.org and get all the information and rules there. Today we're brought to you by Loot Crate, MeUndies, and Third Love, but I'll tell you about that later. For now, let's begin the show with what is and forever will be the Roper Report. Time for some news! I think it's four items, but I'm so buried. Yeah, it's four. Go ahead. Cool, Greg.
A baker's dozen.
Thank you very much. There's so many questions about number two in the ESA's response, but even with PlayStation going ham yesterday, canceling E3 from themselves... We'll get to ESA's non-response in a second. There's even another rumor, possibly bigger, that leads the Roper Report. Is there a discless Xbox coming in 2019 in some kind of weird trade-in program? Brad Sams from Therot.com has this report. And it's a rumor from him in his researching. But he's the one who broke the rumor about Scarlet that seems to be proliferating and everybody believing. In the wake of the news that Sony will not be attending E3 next year, Microsoft's hardware plans for 2019 will likely be a huge win for the brand and for gamers. The company is planning to release an updated console next year, but this device will not be in the Scarlett family, according to people familiar with the company's plans. The Scarlett devices are Microsoft's next-gen consoles and are not expected until 2020, but in 2019, the company is planning to release a diskless console. And if this is making you nervous because you have a large collection of physical discs for your current Xbox, Microsoft has you covered. In addition to the new console, there will be a disc-to-digital program that, as the name states, turns your physical games into digital downloads. The idea is that you can take your disc to a partnering retailer, like the Microsoft Store, and trade in your disc for a digital download. The goal with the new console is to lower the price point for the hardware. Currently, it costs about $299 to buy into the Xbox One family of devices. Microsoft is looking to lower that price by possibly as much as $100. The new console price point is expected to be $200 or less. If you like this kind of information, this content wasn't covered while writing my upcoming book about Surface called Beneath the Surface, which contains this information along with the story of how Microsoft built its billion-dollar hardware brand. In addition, the company also has a revised Xbox One S SKU that is targeted for later in the year that focuses solely on cost reduction, but does feature a disk drive for those who still prefer the traditional way to buy games. Microsoft is moving forward very carefully with this product, as it knows that a sizable portion of its users do prefer to buy physical games and not download them. As for Scarlett, Microsoft is still trying to decide if that console will include a disk drive, but should be making a final decision here shortly. Andrea Renee, thoughts and opinions.
Well, we've been talking about the idea of a digital-only box from Xbox for what feels like a while now. So this
ever since the Scarlett rumor, really. Right,
exactly. So them debuting it in 2019 would make sense. Obviously, adding it alongside their other offerings of the Xbox family of consoles also makes sense to say, hey, we're not getting rid of our disc-based hardware. We're not getting rid of our retail partnerships. We're just offering another item in the Xbox family. And I think that that's smart, particularly when we're seeing them really double down on their digital subscription offering with Xbox Game Pass and the idea that they've talked about bringing PC into the fold with that Game Pass subscription as well.
Plus, this is such a, I think it starts laying the groundwork for an easier transition to Scarlett. To, hey, we're breaking you in now to, hey, there's an Xbox with a disc drive and there is an Xbox without. Of course, the rumor being this 2020 console. Brad brings up is that there's going to be a SKU that is your traditional souped up Xbox 2, whatever the hell, Xbox X2, that's a 4K and has the disc drive, is crazy. And then there is a cheaper version that's just streaming games or downloading games, I guess, in this thing, we're probably with external stuff, but using the Scarlett program. Yeah, I think it's a smart move if that's the way they really are going, of like, hey, this, of course, they're just ripping off the PSP. Everybody remembers PSP Go. They were the first there. Way ahead of their time. PSP Minis. Where were you at, everybody? You know what I mean?
I mean, they would be ripping it off if you could play Xbox Scarlet on the go.
Yeah, that's true, too.
That's happening.
Well, I'm just saying, PSP Go was right there. You know, solid state. We don't need the UMDs anymore. That's what Xbox is copying. My question for you, Andrea.
Yes.
Is, Brad talks about the fact, from what he's heard, and again, this is all rumors, take it with a grain of salt, right? In addition, the company has a review, a revised Xbox One S SKU that is targeted, Do you think this discless Xbox would be a discless Xbox One X, or is it just another version of the S, or what?
Because we know that Xbox has been really pushing the Azure cloud computing mm-hmm. for certain titles. We don't know how many titles are going to make use of that cloud computing. Moreover, we haven't really heard much from their third-party partners about their use of cloud computing. So it's hard to know how much power,
sure,
you know, they're going to have on a streaming-only platform.
Well, I'm sorry. I think we're conflating two different things.
Okay.
Right now, I'm talking about the rumor for the 2019 Xbox One
right.
that is not going to have a disc drive. Mm-hmm. My question to you is, do you think, Brad's reporting it's rumors right now. Do you think it's going to be an Xbox One S without a disc drive, or is it going to be an Xbox One X without a disc drive?
I would imagine it would be S,
okay,
because that seems like a more budget option and sure. somebody who wants a more streamlined experience. The Xbox One X is designed for the high-end enthusiasts, the people that really care about the depth of clarity
sure.
and picture on their HDR, 4K television,
yeah.
right? And those people want the 4K Blu-ray player that's inside the Xbox One X.
Smart. Because
right?
I was going the opposite with it, of just like, well, that'd be a great way to get the X into more people's houses, right? If you were able to lower the price by $100. But that's a great point, that if I'm buying it because I have the super fancy, nice, expensive TV.
Exactly. When I did my in-depth interview with their marketing team before the X launched, that was their major talking point, is that this is designed for the technology enthusiast. This is meant to be a standalone console for people who are really nerdy about high-end tech.
Sure.
This is not meant to be an all-in-one feature like the standard Xbox One is.
Fair.
So I would say no. I think that it's going to be, you know, the more pared down option.
Let's see what Curtis Van Imp has to say. He writes in to kindoffunny.com/KFGD just like you can. It says, Greg, yesterday you and John discussed the next generation of consoles, and we're both in agreement that the next Xbox would likely be cross-compatible, with Xbox One being able to play the next-gen games with reduced graphical settings. Do you not think this will hurt the next generation of Xbox games? The Xbox One S is already the poorest performing of the four Xbox/PlayStation consoles and cannot play many games even at 1080p. If the next gen is more powerful than the Xbox One X, how will Microsoft ensure that its next gen first party games, as well as all multi-platform games, are compatible with the One S? It seems like such a decision will hamper the technological progress, of games, as every developer will need to be looking back and making sure that everything works on the Xbox One S. Do you not see this as a problem? Won't PlayStation 5 games be drastically more technologically advanced if they don't incorporate cross-gen? First off, Andrea, you've heard me rant and rave about this before,
mm-hmm.
that I think the Xbox 2, for lack of a better term, or whatever the next, Xbox Scarlet, will be able to play Xbox One games, and the Xbox One, I think, will be able to play whatever's coming to the Xbox Scarlet. I think we've moved both the PlayStation 4 and the Xbox One to PC architecture so that you can just have, not super easy, don't get me wrong, the settings and slidings, right? Or sliders to bring down your graphics. And yeah, one looks like a potato, one looks amazing, you know, so on and so forth. Am I crazy to think this? And let's just talk about Xbox. Let's keep it Xbox. I think PlayStation 5 will not do this.
Sure. It's hard to say because the first thing I thought of when you were reading this question is that true that a lot of games can't do 1080p on the Xbox One S? That seems like it would not be true. So I'm trying to get some supporting evidence. And please do write into kindoffunny.com/you're wrong if you know of some supporting evidence that indicates that there are many games that don't support 1080p on the Xbox One S. Because that sounds like a claim that I don't know is substantiated.
Mm-hmm.
And if it is, that's terrible news, because I think we finally are in an era where 1080p is the standard, even though when we're talking about streaming, there's still many people who are watching streams in 720, right? And like, while there is a noticeable difference now between 720 and 1080, I don't know how that affects people's quality of life if they've, you know, decided that what they can afford or what they are playing at is the budget experience, and that's just the experience that they have. When it comes to what's going next, you would hope that they would make it better and flashier and, you know, only look at upgrading. But I think what we're seeing here is that Xbox wants to make sure their community and their player base has a choice, has like a variety of options to choose from to fit their personal, you know, budget and their personal gaming experience.
Yeah. My thought is just the way Xbox has positioned themselves and being for the gamers, wanting to have an Xbox platform, which is why it's weird to be Xbox 2, because I don't think that's how they're going to message it or go with it, would be that, again, based on the amazing announcements and programs they have already with Game Pass, with the backwards compatibility, right, with everything we've seen at the Xbox XO18 event, I just think that's such an amazing marketing thing to say, here's the next thing, it does this crazy thing, it's running. This is also me, of course, being ignorant, because as we're talking about, like, the people who want HDR, and that's not me. Like, I've never been hung up on graphics to that extent. Are we talking, I mean, the Xbox One X already is the most powerful console on the market. Mm-hmm. How much crazier is the next console going to be? Remember, we this is an iterative console cycle we've had this time around. So again, we're not even going from what PlayStation 4 is to what PlayStation 5 can do. We're talking about PlayStation 4 to PlayStation 4 Pro to PlayStation 5, where I feel like it's going to look better. But when you're talking about what's inside of it, what you can get out, all the technical aspects you can use for it, we're not talking about a PS1 to PS2 jump, a PS2 to PS3 jump. It's going to be more incremental to that point. So to Curtis's question, like, do you not see this as a problem? I don't. I think already that if you're, how many games are coming to PC? And granted, there's plenty of people with PCs that can't play those, but there's plenty of people who can just dial their stuff down to it. And then if you're Curtis, or you're saying, well, I own an Xbox One S, I'm not, I don't want to play it at a lesser quality or the worst quality, potato quality. Well, yeah, that's why Xbox is making something new for you to buy something new. They want your money. They're not saying you're going to get the best experience. They're just saying, hey, you're still along for this ride.
Well, I think if we look at what's happening in the PC gaming space, there's a reason why there's minimum specs that publishers put out with the games that they develop, right? I think we're maybe going to see something like that happen with these new consoles that are coming down the line as they get closer and closer to becoming like mini PCs in a console box.
Yeah.
Versus, you know, obviously, PC gaming is where you can really tailor your visual experience quite extensively. So I have to imagine that for when it comes to developers and looking at how the experience is going to differ depending on which system you have, that there will always be like those baseline minimum requirements, and then it'll just scale up from there.
And that's what I've taken away. And I don't see that baseline holding people back. And again, I'm not the hardware guy. Kindoffunny.com/you're wrong. You're welcome to write in and show me, and I don't mean this in a defensive way, give me links and articles of PC developers who are already saying, oh my God, we'd love to make this game look like that, but we have to. I mean, what you're talking about here is the problem everybody's always struggled with multi-platform games, and why you look at something like God of War, right, or Horizon, you're like, oh my God, this game looks so good. And then I can play one of my games of the year, Assassin's Creed Odyssey, and be like, I love this game so much, and it's beautiful at times. And then there's the other times where her foot's standing on like an invisible platform, or her hair looks like garbage, and I'm like, ah, that kind of sucks.
Yeah.
But I get it, because they made it for PC and PlayStation and Xbox, and duh. Like, adding another SKU in there or another slider to worry about, I don't think is the worst case in the world, let alone I think that that's going to be such a strong point for Xbox of like, no, we are Xbox. This is our platform. This is how it works.
But Greg.
Yeah, Andrea, Renee.
I believe all of this talk about hardware choice is still moot if they don't bring the games, right? That's why PlayStation so definitively won this generation, is because of the software lineup, not just because people liked playing on their technology. And obviously, we've been saying ad nauseum with all of the announcements that Microsoft and Xbox have been making about their studio acquisitions that they're setting themselves up for that success in the next generation. But I guess we're just going to have to wait and see.
Well, Andrea, I think number two is going to have 90 questions related to it. And we're eventually going to touch on that nerve as well. So let's just jump into it. Number two, the ESA put out a non-response to PlayStation bailing on E3.
Air quotes.
That's what I put. That's how I call it. I'm going to read the gamesindustry.biz article from James Batchelor. The news that PlayStation will not be present at E3 2019 has not sullied the organizers' plans to grow the event. A statement from the Entertainment Software Association touted the record-breaking success of this year's trade show and highlighted some of the major companies already on board, including Sony's rival platform holders, Microsoft and Nintendo. There were also indications that the show itself will spill out of the Los Angeles Convention Center and into other venues in order to accommodate further growth. Last year, the ESA said the venue's struggles to cope with rising attendance means E3 may have to leave Los Angeles in 2020. Xbox already had to shift to its own space at the nearby Microsoft Theater this year, and with the ESA planning to once again invite consumers to E3, the LACC's limits are likely to be tested next summer. Quote, E3 2018 broke records and we sold out of both exhibit space and attendee badges, said interim CEO Stanley Pierre Lewis. We are confident that through the continued creative innovations delivered by our participating member companies, E3 2019 will deliver the same kind of excitement and energy. This year, we're looking forward to expanding E3 beyond the walls of the LACC and connecting gamers and attendees with incredible video game content throughout the entire LA Live complex, which is exciting because they got that burger place out there. The press release also featured quotes of support from Microsoft, Nintendo, and Epic Games, which hosted E3's largest ever booth, and this is Epic Games, which hosted E3's largest ever booth for Fortnite, plus a list of companies confirmed to be attending. These include the aforementioned trio, as well as Activision, Bethesda, Capcom, Konami, Square Enix, Take-Two, Ubisoft, and Warner Brothers. Andrea Renee, what do you think, number one, of PlayStation not going to E3 for the first time in 24 years?
So just as a reminder, before I give my thoughts, my husband does indeed work for PlayStation.
And the way I understand that is he came to you and was like, hey, should we go to E3? And you were like, no.
Yes,
and he's like,
exactly,
I'm gonna make all this happen.
For the record, that's exactly how it did not happen. That conversation never took place. I'm not speaking on his behalf or I actually like don't have his like thoughts on like everything that's going down. So
is he back in the country yet? Either?
He literally got back. He landed and came immediately to the pet hospital with me yesterday. We'll get into that later. But thank you for everybody who reached out. My cat is doing better, and I hopefully will get to take him home today. And I'll put out a statement on Twitter later today. But that aside, PlayStation leaving E3 is, of course, like a shocking statement, mm-hmm. as they have been part of it and really an anchor of E3 since it began. And as people who've been covering E3 for so many years, their press conference is usually one of the most hyped conferences to cover at the show.
Right.
They always have an amazing booth with tons of hands-on games, lots of great opportunities to see new hardware on various years. So this is really quite shocking that a company as large as PlayStation is pulling out. My personal thoughts on it are like, I think that this is a completely crazy and wrong move.
Oh, wow.
While I understand the benefits of moving to maybe like a digital-only distribution for your press releases a la Nintendo Direct, the thing that I kept going back to is, how can they do this to all of the partners who depend on PlayStation at a conference like E3 to really get the word about their game out there? And I was looking at all of the stats that you guys ran down on the show yesterday, celebrating their fifth anniversary of the PS4. Correct. And you look at those top five games, those are all partner titles.
Yeah.
They're not PlayStation first party exclusives. And if you look at what really pushed PlayStation 4 over the edge of everybody else's generation, it was all of their partner titles.
Right.
And so it's crazy to think that they would leave all of their partners in the lurch when those smaller developers in particular really depend on a stage like the PlayStation Sony press conference or spot in the PlayStation booth on the show floor for hands-on for press in order to get the word out about their games. And so that makes me concerned for not only their indie partners, but some of the smaller publishers that they work with, but also like, what does that mean for some of their tentpole partners like Activision and Call of Duty? You know, we've been seeing Call of Duty at the PlayStation conference, several times since that partnership began. Destiny has almost always had a spot at their E3 stage as well. What does that mean for that partnership?
Sure.
So that's the first thing that I thought of.
And this is a giant issue, a giant conversation. I want to bring Benedict in. He says, what's up, Greg? What's good, Andrea? If you were Nintendo or Microsoft, what would you do differently at E3 2019 compared to previous years to capitalize on Sony's absence? Keep being awesome. I think you just nailed the biggest thing. Again, we talked about it yesterday in terms of, this is all happening in real time, right? As we were reacting, it happened in the middle of the show. But on top of, me, I kept saying like Phil Spencer, all hands meeting, guys, we got to go huge. We got to push updates. We got to do this. It would also be third party relations. Get everyone on the phone and tell them we got them. we'll cut, you know what I mean? Let's do it. Let's expand our footprint if that's possible. Let's, you know what I mean? Imagine if you're Xbox and you have the, correct me if I'm wrong, they haven't announced this yet, right? Are the floor plans out yet?
The
Brian Altano joke. The Altano tweet was great.
Tweet was really funny.
I didn't mean that. I knew that one was fake.
They don't release floor plans until like March.
I thought so, right? Yeah. So I mean, like, if I'm in Microsoft and whenever I find out about this and however I did, it would be like, cool, we want their space as well. And I would totally do it. I'm saying that they have their normal Xbox space, but then you take over the PlayStation space and it is video games presented by Xbox. And it is totally, we don't have exclusive rights to any of these, but we know that people need spots to show their games. There you go. And the same for Nintendo, right? Of like, oh, wow, we need to do right by our partners. There's so many people that do rely on this. I mean, again, there were people jokingly tweeting at me yesterday of like, oh man, you should, I guess this means you're gonna have to do another Kind of Funny game showcase, right? There were developers really DMing me going like, for real, if you do this, I need help. And I'm like, I don't have that kind of, let's get one done and then we'll worry about that.
But right.
That it is a real ramification of this, of like, oh wow, the stage time on Xbox's stage just got so much more valuable.
Right. And they even really showed they kind of flex with their partnerships this year. If you compare the weird showcase that Sony put together this year, which really only showed their first party with a couple of third party things in there, and then Xbox coming out the gate and being like, we've got this game, this game, this game. We've got new trailers for all of these things that are obviously multi-platform, but you're seeing the trailer first on the Xbox stage. And now that's just kind of opening the door. I will say, it was a little thirsty of Xbox to get on social media yesterday.
That tweet was great.
And be like, hey, we'll be at E3.
We're excited to see you at E3. Can't wait.
Oh my gosh.
Go for it, man.
So thirsty.
Have your moment.
But no, I mean, they have to. They have to capitalize on this opening that PlayStation has given them. And I don't think that PlayStation can walk this back, but maybe they are like, LOL, just kidding. We decided that wasn't the right call. We are going to have a presence at E3. I don't know if that's even a possibility.
Oh, no way.
But you don't think so?
No way. Now that they've said this, they can't go back on it.
I'm with you, but like, I think, you know, maybe part of me wants to hold out hope that maybe they'll do something different, or they'll do something a la EA Play where it's not at E3.
But Jen Clark and that Game Informer thing was like, we're not doing anything around E3.
I know.
Yeah.
They still got 6 months to change their mind.
I guess, but I think it's interesting.
I think if one of their big partners, sorry to cut you off, if one of their big partners came in, like an Activision or even like a Rockstar or a Bethesda, and said, hey, we talked about doing this giant marketing deal together for this next big AAA that's coming.
Yeah.
What the fuck, dudes? You're kind of leaving us out to dry. I think only in that case, when there's like tens of millions of dollars potentially on the line for a deal, that maybe we would see some shifting. But obviously, we don't know what those deals are. Those are all like behind closed doors things that we don't, you know, ever get to hear about until they're announced.
Yeah, and that's the thing that I wonder about with this is, you know, yesterday's question was, oh man, I wonder when Xbox knew. I wonder when they found out that this was happening. But then, yeah, you're right that those AAA partnership exclusive deals are already being negotiated in boardrooms across the world, right? So at what point did somebody be like, oh yeah, we'd love to partner for E3, and PlayStation's like, yeah, we'll see about that. Or like, yeah, no, we're not, or we're thinking and we'll see. We're doing something different. We might be doing our own thing. Like,
yeah,
who the hell knows what that actually shook out on. And I thought it was interesting, you know, yesterday I started spinning as the PlayStation guy, like what their methodology would be and why you would do this. And, you know, I think they're going to do this event and they get headlines there. It was also this thing of an undercurrent today in kindoffunny.com/KFGD of people who were offended by this, right? I'm just gonna kick it over. Stargazer wrote in and said, hello KF Games Daily hosts, not sure who is on, we say it every episode. So with the article from Variety about PlayStation skipping E3, I have some things I would like to hear from you guys. As an Xbox fan since the OG Xbox, it is hard for me to justify Sony's decision not to hold an E3 event at all. If they ran out of games that they can show because they're holding them for PlayStation 5's reveal, I find that very disrespectful. While Microsoft hasn't had many exclusives in the last few years, they managed to get enough things to show and have a full E3 conference. Why can't Sony manage to bring out all the indies and Japanese games that don't come out on Xbox to fill the void? Just a thought. Anyways, keep up the good work.
No, I'm with you, Stargazer. Like, that's also a very good point. And you talk about E3 being a destination event, not just for digital viewers who are tuning into live streams around the world, but people who are literally flying now to Los Angeles to attend E3 in person and buy tickets for the show. Like, what is the expectation for those people? I mean, what is the ESA going to do about people who are like, I'm not going to buy a ticket now, the PlayStation's not going to be there, because that was such a pillar presence at the show. Find it disrespectful is kind of strong language. They're a privately held company and they can do whatever they want, right? Yeah. And we, as fans, can be disappointed. But, I mean, they clearly have a prerogative in mind. Whether or not we understand that, I think, is a little irrelevant.
Well, this is, again, the ripples I didn't think about in the moment, right? Mm-hmm. You bring up, you know, what's the ESA to do when a fan's like, well, I'm not going to buy tickets. I was coming for PlayStation, right? What is going to happen when a third-party partner is like, well, hey, guys, we really needed that time there. And when a fan thinks it's disrespectful, right? Like,
I mean, I thought it was interesting yesterday how your immediate gut reaction was like, whoa, they've got like their big boy pants on. They're doing so well. They don't need this. I think it's crazy to think that, you know, they are so far above everybody else that they're like, we can do our own thing. We don't need E3. And it's like, of course you don't need E3 in that sense. You've been doing really well, but I would argue you're doing really well because you have been showing your games and your hardware at E3.
Right. And this is the thing, right? The ripples of pissing off those people. Because the answers to the ones of ESA going to, what does ESA say to these people? What if people don't come to eat this, blah, blah, blah. Like, the short answer is those aren't PlayStation's problems, right? That's mm-hmm. ESA's problem. And
correct.
On paper, when PlayStation's like, we're doing this, and where I jump to, right, of like, wow, they're going to own headlines today, get mentioned in all sorts of stories in every live stream when people are filling time. They're going to come back to how crazy it is that PlayStation's not here. Can't wait to see what they do. And then when they do event, it's going to be this huge thing, right? It does run the risk, though, like, I think actually there might be a question here, right, if somebody's like, can they ever come back? You know what I mean? Like, can they ever come back to E3 now? Because, like, ESA is suddenly dealing with a load of shit has been dropped on their desk of, like, fuck, you know what I mean? Like, this is our event. We love it. Everybody celebrates games. We get to bring together. We make money on it, and we're a business and all these different things too. We didn't need the people who are at the top of the game right now in terms of publishers, hardware, being like, nah, we don't need to do it. Because mm-hmm. now they have a whole new thing to deal with. And again, every time the ESA now is going to get talked to about E3, this is going to be a question. This is going to be a thing. People are going to want to talk about this and craft a story around it. Mm-hmm. And it's like, fuck, yeah, that pisses them off. It pisses off these partners, right, who are like, now you assume, with the exception of PlayStation, if they already had a deal way long out or whatever with somebody, now, yeah, okay, I'm trying to get my game on a stage. I'm going to go to Xbox. Xbox is where I'm going to take this and who I'm going to talk to and, you know, the exclusives I'll sign with them. Like, if let's say it is just this one year they want to do this to promote to their giant event and then they do want to come back and do a thing next year at E3, yeah, how does that work? What does the booth space look like? You know what I mean? Like,
oh, they'll easily be able to come back.
Yeah.
Easily.
Yeah.
They're the number one console right now.
Sure.
Like, there's sure. no
but
way. That,
but the sour grapes, Andrea.
They don't. You know who doesn't care about sour grapes? When hundreds of millions of dollars are potentially on the line, the ESA.
Yeah.
They're not going to say, oh, we're.
I'm not going to say they wouldn't let them back in the door.
About you pulling out of E3. Like, no way, man. They'll welcome them back with open arms, right? Mm-hmm. Like, that's a given.
Sure.
I'm not going to say that there won't be some probably tense conversations, you know, in as you say, boardroom meeting somewhere. That certainly is probably on the table. But the idea that if they, you know, do make good and never show anything at E3 2019 that they can't come back ever is like that's out of the realm of possibility. They'll be able to come back whenever they want.
I understand they'll be able to come back, but I mean, it's just a question of how many people have they pissed off and how many people want to help them out again? You know, and does this change the tenor of the conversation in the course of the river in terms of who's working with who?
I mean, that's a good point. I think when it comes to their first party stuff, they're like, whatever, we'll do our own thing.
Yeah, they're not.
But like I said at the beginning of all this, the people who really are getting thrown under the bus here are their third party partners.
Yeah.
And those are the relationships that are going to be tough to manage for that team. So
Nathan C. from Morgan wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, much like Greg and John yesterday, I was flabbergasted by the news of Sony not showing up at all for E3 2019. And while I'm a huge fan of Sony and want to believe they have spectacular plans up their sleeve for PlayStation 5 announcements later that year, that doesn't change the fact that there could be no foreseeable news from them in a conference for almost 13 months. How can they be making claims to be doing this to, quote, delight gamers when it will inevitably disappoint fans like myself who look forward to E3 every year? I understand how Sony, as a business, would want to play things close to the chest and get everyone talking about them. But after this year's E3 and the cancellation of PSX, it really feels like all Sony focuses on anymore is big AAA announcements. And they're running out of those games to talk about. Mm-hmm. Two things here, and now the first one actually pulls back to Stargazer's question, right, about what if they did indies and Japanese games, right? I think PlayStation has done smaller presentations, and they usually take it on the chin from everybody, of like, well, then where were the big games? Where were the AAAs? Where were the exclusives? Oh, I didn't want, you know, blah, blah, blah. And yep. So now they're kind of giving you the dose of, well, hey, we can't fucking win when we don't have it like that, so we're not going to do it. And so I'm not saying, like, they're taking their ball and going home. I think it's just the fact that they want to have one giant thing where there are a million great, huge announcements, and then there are hopefully smaller announcements that can filter out and be part of the equation. And everybody's like, wow, this is a great conference. They had everything, right? And to your question, Nathan, of like, how can they, it'll inevitably disappoint fans like myself that look forward to E3 every year. This is not an insult to you, Nathan, right? For the most part, gamers have a goldfish brain on this thing, right? Except with the exception of my Lair and Uncharted 3 reviews. We forget everything. So you're mad now. You're going to be at E3 and it's going to be like, this is so weird. They're not here. But hopefully Xbox kills it. Third parties kill it. Nintendo kills it. But you're still like, I wonder what they're doing. And then the hype train will roll into whatever event PlayStation is going to talk about. And you're talking about it's going to be 13 months without a conference.
No, it won't be. Because they have many games that are coming out next year that they need to do PR pushes about.
Yeah, hold on, though. I'm with you. But I think, and that was something people were lost on, too. What about anything? I'm like, they're still doing blog posts. I still think there's probably going to be ads on the side of E3 for games that they're doing things with, like the banners you have out there. I don't think it's like, man, we're not even going to talk anymore. Like, they're going to still talk about other games next year, but in terms of a conference, right? Mm-hmm. In terms of there being a conference, like 13 years, right? Like, that's delaying gratification where again, the hype train will roll of like, holy shit, PlayStation's about to do something on stage for the first time in 13 months. I can't wait to fucking see what this is. What do you think it's going to be? Hypothesis after hypothesis, release date announcements, this, that, either. What are these IPs? Like, everyone's going to be stoked when they finally come back. Right now, everybody's pissed off, but God forbid we just play the games we have now.
It will be interesting to see exactly what their vision is and what this all means.
Because
right now, I don't get it. I don't see it. Yeah. I don't understand it. But maybe there's some genius vision behind it all where they're like,
Shuhei Yoshida,
we're going to just set the world on fire. You guys just wait. I know you're mad now, but it's going to be so epic.
Well, I mean, it's the same thing as always, though. Yeah, people are mad right now. And what does that equate to? In a spreadsheet in a budget line as a corporation that's killing it and running. Nobody right now is crossing the PlayStation 4 off their Christmas list and putting an Xbox One down because PlayStation's not coming to E3. We're all everybody's in a huff on Twitter
Real
about
talk,
it.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? And again, by the time we get there, you're going to be excited about it and you're probably going to buy the third party games on PlayStation 4 because that's where you are in your ecosystem, blah, blah. And I'm just going off of sales numbers, not even being a Sony pony here. I think by the time you get back to, hey, we're finally breaking our silence, we're finally doing something. Not to mention, again, I think right now a lot of people do have the impression of, like, it's like the Wizard of Oz and they've slid the little door closed and they're not going to talk to you until December of next year. That's not what it's going to be. There's still going to be PlayStation blogcasts. Sean Layden's still going to come out and say weird things on the blogcast that we all have to report on. They're going to show you trailers. There's going to be Game Informer covers. Dreams, mark my words, Dreams will one day get a release date and they will talk about it and do that. Concrete Genie's going to come out. Cool Greg's going to play it. It's just a weird, weird, weird. It's a weird move, but I do think it makes sense. I do think it makes sense.
I disagree with you there.
I know.
And nothing about this decision makes sense.
But think about it, Andrea. Think of all the headlines. And if E3 doesn't go well, then like that. And then even if it does go well, it's like, oh, this is awesome. I can't wait to see what PlayStation does.
It's crazy that you think that E3 has a potential to not go well. I got into this argument with my good friend, Ray Carcillo, on Facebook. He was talking about how he, like many people year over year, talk about how E3 every year is becoming a little more irrelevant. And I was like, nay, nay, sir. It actually is becoming more relevant year over year because there are so many more ways to get information now. So many live streams. We got people that are live tweeting, people walking around the show floor with a Twitch backpack, literally streaming as they're walking around the floor. So there's more ways to consume E3 content than ever before, and thus more people are consuming it. And that's why I think it's more relevant than it's ever been. So that's why this decision leaves me scratching my head going, they're at their peak as far as engagement goes about across all spheres of social media and ways to engage with content at during the show. Why would you exit now? You know, like, I don't get it.
Someone in the you didn't make the page, but I remember reading it, said, was this basically PlayStation taking a knee on this generation? Like, we're just going to run out the clock. Like, we've won. Like, what's the point? And there's an argument to that in a way, right? Of like, cool, let's let Xbox spend more money at E3 to advertise more third-party games that people are going to buy on us. Like, I mean, this is totally a, if you want to be like, you know, they're the richest kings with their chalice up there of like, everybody's got to put their money where their mouth is and buy everything third-party on Xbox if you're really mad about this decision. If you think that is the whole issue of it and the crux of it. Like, I hope Xbox fucking totally, I hope they, what we just pitched, they bite down on it like, fuck yes. I hope, you know what I mean? I hope that they do. Hey, the Xbox showcase is Sunday. And on Monday night, we're doing the indie games presented by Xbox. We're taking over and we're just going to come in with our third-party partner. Not even indies, but, you know, third parties and do all this stuff. I'll put it together for you, Xbox. Trust me. I have a lot more gray hair and a lot of experience now. It's killing me, this showcase. 63 games, though, for the Kinda Funny Games showcase.
That's so exciting. And I have gotten an update for you on how everything's going.
Oh, you can come look at all the trailers and all the special guests we got over there. It's crazy. Number three for you in another jam-packed episode of Kinda Funny Games Daily. The Golden Joystick Award winners have been named. I thought I would run through them real quick for you, Andrea Renee.
Sure.
Best Storytelling, God of War. Best Competitive Game, Fortnite Battle Royale. Best Cooperative Game, Monster Hunter World. Best Visual Design, God of War. Best Indie Game, Dead Cells. Best Audio, God of War. Still playing, World of Tanks. Best Performer, Brian Deckert Connor from Detroit Become Human. Esports Game of the Year, Overwatch. Studio of the Year, SIE Santa Monica. Best VR Game, it says, but Skyrim VR.
Get out of here, Skyrim VR.
Wow, okay. Harsh words from Andrew Renee.
Yeah.
Do you mind
Google? That game wasn't developed for VR. It was developed for PC and consoles, and then it was ported to VR. There are so many games that are specifically made for VR that they completely overlooked.
Don't get me started. We just did the Gamescast, patreon.com/kindoffunnygames today. Right now, you can go watch it or listen.
Not
listen
to say it. Skyrim VR is a bad game.
But like, I think the Game Wars list is like, perfect. Yeah. You caught Beat Saber, Moss, Astrobot. I want to make sure I get him. Firewall. There's another great one I'm skipping out on.
I know I'm blanking on it too. Let me look it up really quick.
Beat Saber, Firewall. Hold on. Beat Saber, Firewall. Now I'm forgetting. Moss. Oh, no, I said Astrobot.
You did.
And then Tetris Effect. There it is. There's the five. Nailed it, everybody. Can you? No? Okay. Don't even worry about it. Mobile Game of the Year, PlayerUnknown's Battlegrounds. PC Game of the Year, Subnautica. PlayStation Game of the Year, God of War. Xbox Game of the Year, Forza Horizon 4. Nintendo Game of the Year, Octopath Motherfucking Traveler. Breakthrough Award, Unknown Worlds for Subnautica. Most Wanted Game, Cyberpunk 2077. Critics' Choice Award, Red Dead Redemption 2. Lifetime Achievement, Hidetaka
Miyazaki.
Thank you very much. The last names for Japanese game developers are so well known that if I can get to that, I'm usually good.
Yeah.
But it's that first name I stumble on. I guess I could
say the father of survival horror games.
Miyazaki son, I could have said too. Outstanding contributions, the Xbox Adaptive Controller. Ultimate Game of the Year, Fortnite Battle Royale.
What does that even mean?
It's the ultimate game of the year because they gave Game of the Year for the platforms. And so here you go. Here's
one
to rule them all.
Okay.
Runners-up, of course, were Red Dead Redemption 2 and Black Ops 4. Congratulations, everybody. If you want to hear us predict the first half of the Game Awards, you can go to patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Gamescast is up right now. Pre-shows all of us yelling about PlayStation, not being 83.
That sounds right.
And if you just want it for free, youtube.com/kindoffunnygames, Monday, podcast services, all that jazz. Number four. Hold on a second. Yeah. I could ask you, I guess. Number four. In 4 minutes, something is going to happen on Adi Shankar's Twitter. Adi Shankar, of course, friend of the show. Game Over Greggy show with him, real good. He made Castlevania for Netflix. He's made a whole bunch of other stuff, too. The bootleg universe. He put out a tweet, "Dear video game industry and entertainment industry, tomorrow, 1 p.m., which is today, get ready." There's been rumors forever that it's going to be, or the original rumor was he's working on Legend of Zelda thing for Netflix. Another one that I saw on recent era gain traction back in the day was, not back in the day, in the last couple weeks, was a Metal Gear animated thing similar to Castlevania, Konami, because the voice actors had all been palling around and tweeting at each other and being weird. Cool, Greg? Yeah. Please keep an eye on that in F5 as you see fit. You got it?
Got it.
Love you, big guy. Again, super long, jam-packed episode, so I'm going to put the ads here, Andrea Renee.
Do it.
This episode is brought to you by Loot Crate. Do you know Loot Gaming? It's a monthly subscription box delivered direct to your door with exclusive pop culture collectibles, apparel, and gear. Loot Gaming curates, designs, everything themselves, and you can't find these items anywhere else. If you were on the morning show or watched it, you saw me yelling at Nick Scarpino for taking my favorite glasses, the Voxhound Cups, from Loot Gaming and putting them out here so I can't use them anymore, but he can use them for his ad. But I'm like, I want to use them to actually drink out of them because I love Metal Gear.
And well, you could use one as a prop and one to actually drink out
that
of.
That would require logic, and we know Nick Scarpino does not have that.
That's true.
Every month at Loot Gaming has a theme. This one, it goes like this. Victory comes at the edge of a blade. Face your enemies with razor-sharp gear from God of War, The Elder Scrolls, Kingdom Hearts, and Assassin's Creed. You get a t-shirt in every crate, $60 or more of value in every crate for less than $29 a month. This crate will sell out, so go ahead and order yours before it does. Subscribers are also automatically entered to win each month's Epic Drop, a special prize that looters can win just by being a looter. This month's Epic Drop includes a PlayStation 4 Pro God of War bundle. Subscribe now by going to lootcrate.com/games. Enter my code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off your subscription. That's lootcrate.com/games. My code GAMES to save an exclusive 30% off. Next up is MeUndies. The holidays are here and we have the perfect solution for what to give. MeUndies. You've heard me obsess about my underwear. You've seen Nick Scarpino touch them. I love MeUndies. I threw away the rest of my underwear. And then MeUndies said, wow, we have something going on here. They started making onesies. They started making lounge pants. And now for the holidays, every Tuesday, they're putting up a new crazy holiday print. You can go there and get them in the onesies like Jen and I are doing. You can go get them in the lounge pants, which Gary Witt is apparently going to do and start wearing here. I'll believe when I see it. The best part, though, when you join the membership club, you get all the stuff, lounge pants, tees, undies, and everything MeUndies makes for less than anybody else. MeUndies has a great offer for my listeners. For any first-time purchasers, when you purchase any MeUndies, you get 15% off and free shipping. It's a no-brainer. Get 15% off your first pair of the most comfortable undies you'll ever put on. To get your 15% off, free shipping, and a 100% satisfaction guarantee, go to MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. That's MeUndies.com/GamesDaily. And finally, Third Love is sponsoring this episode. Third Love has an offer for all the kind of honeys out there. It's the perfect bra. Using thousands of real women's measurements, Third Love designs its bras with breast shape and size in mind so that they fit impeccably and feel even better. They just added a cotton collection, which is their most requested thing. You can skip the trip and find your fit in 30 seconds online. Order and try on at home. No more awkward fitting room experiences. Gia loves her strapless one. Her friend loves her black lacy one. And Jen didn't love hers. She bought one too big, but Third Love has free and easy returns, so Jen sent it back and got the right one, no problem. This is hands down the most comfortable bra you'll ever own. It's tagless, so no more itching. Third Love knows there's a perfect bra for everyone, so right now they're offering my listeners 15% off their first order. Go to thirdlove.com/games right now to find your perfect fitting bra and get 15% off your first purchase. That's thirdlove.com/games for 15% off your first purchase. How you doing, Andrew?
I'm just refreshing.
Oh, thank you very much. You're on it too. Cool Greg's on it. We're going to figure out what you're up to, Adi. Don't you worry about it. You're not slipping one past us. I can't wait to see what Mr. Shankar has to announce, but it's still so far away. If I wanted something more immediate, like what games were in mom and grop shops right now, Andrew, where would I go?
You would go to the official list of upcoming software across each and every platform as listed by the kind of funny Games Daily show host each and every weekday.
Yeah. Bad North is out on PC today. Civilization 6 is on Switch. Pokemon Let's Go Pikachu and Let's Go Eevee are on Switch as well. I assume Britt is dead from excitement.
She is at home in her Charmander onesie.
Yeah.
Playing Let's Go Pikachu.
Is her dad next? Is this one of the games she plays with her dad?
No. Okay.
That's
her
Dragon Ball
her
stuff.
Husband is playing Let's Go Eevee, I believe.
Gotcha. There was a long discussion on Slack today with my wife of which version she was going to play. Mara's Chaos Menace comes to PlayStation 4 and Switch. State of Decay gets its Zed Hunter update. And then Sunset Overdrive is on Windows 10 and Steam. New dates for you. Roller Coaster Tycoon Adventures, the iconic theme park management series, rides into the hands of Switch owners starting on November 29th in select European territories and on December 13th in North America. Let's roll into deals of the day. I used to have to look for these. Now you guys just send them all in. You're amazing and I thank you. Ben wrote into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, just wanted to throw in a Canadian deal of the day if I could. Walmart is currently offering the Xbox One S 1TB Minecraft bundle for $229.99 or Forza Horizon 4 bundle for $249.99. Just throwing it out there for the Canadian best friends. Keep on keeping on, Ben. We will. Thank you. Emmett Watkins Jr. Just a heads up to anyone wanting to get Battlefield 5 as it releases this Tuesday. At Best Buy, they are not only offering $10 gift certificate and steelbook with a pre-order of the game, but also give you $10 off the game if you trade in games from certain franchises towards it. The list of games covers anything else considered a shooter, which covers dozens of franchises. That's pretty much all I have today, but it's worth reiterating to look up Wario64 on Twitter and cheapassgamer.com to track all of the incoming Black Friday deals and the PSN and Xbox Live deals that are going up right now. Speaking of, Lucid Dream wrote in, the PSN Black Friday sale begins today and God of War is $21.99. That's cheaper than it would be anywhere else during retail on Black Friday event sales, where I guess they're selling it in stores for $24.99. Get on it. Yes, if you want to go, you can check out the PlayStation blog. Dozens and dozens and dozens of games are on sale. You can get like Assassin's Creed Origins Gold Edition, like which is $99.99 still on the store, but like for like $30 now. And then Odyssey's, I think, marked off 10 or 15. So there's a whole bunch of stuff to get in there and go for. And then finally, Ignacio Rojas says for Deals of the Day, as of Thursday afternoon, Brawlhalla is free on the eShop. For a while, Nintendo has been giving out games for free without telling anyone. For example, when Shaq Fu came out, you could download the game for free. Also, Galactic Z was free at one point. Thanks, Ignacio. How are we doing? Adi hasn't done anything?
Got nothing.
What a coward. It's 3 minutes after one.
He's late.
I'm going to have to call him at some point if he keeps this up. It's reader mail. We're long. Let me find you a good one, Andrea. All right. One okay. You can chew on.
Yeah.
You can mull into the weekend. Mm-hmm. Yeah, you got that one there. Yeah. No. Yeah, that was yesterday. No. Well, you know what? I might come back to that one. I'm flipping over. All right. I got two that I like for you, Andrea.
Okay.
Jack Reynolds, the I think he means Washington Farmer, writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD and says, hey, Greg and Andrea, yesterday I heard you guys discussing who could fill the Sony spot at E3. I think there's a dark horse in the race that could fill the spot, and that's either Google or Amazon. There have been rumors for ages about the two giant companies getting into the gaming world and what an opportunity to do it. Google recently did its game streaming thing, and it seemed to do pretty well. A good pick.
I think the Google pick is the really interesting one.
Yeah.
Amazon, I don't think that they care to dabble in something like E3 because they've been in the gaming space now for quite a few years and they haven't before. And I think that their main priority is still their mobile focus.
Yeah.
Because that's where they're making the most amount of money. And I think Google is primed to do something really exciting. Because, you know, we keep hearing rumors about this potential box that they're going to be releasing.
Yeah.
And we have people that are currently playing Project Stream, and I think those are tied together. But that being said, most of these big Silicon Valley companies choose to do their own thing. You know, like if you think about Apple's keynote or the keynotes that Google does. And it's like, so would they want to do something at E3 versus doing their own thing? It's hard to know because it goes back to what I was talking about with third-party relationships. Google is going to need to have really impressive third-party partnerships in order to break through the established people in the space, right? 100%,
yeah, to get everybody to turn their heads and do it.
Right.
Adi Shankar has... Oh, it's Devil May Cry. Adi has put up his Twitter here, and it's at Open for Business.
Okay.
It's Devil May Cry. It's him as Dante. Very interesting. I don't know if this must be probably one of his bootleg films. Is that what they're called, Cool Greg? A bootleg universe. He does on his YouTube. He does stuff like Gritty Power Rangers reboot, a Punisher short, cool stuff like that. Maybe that's what this is. Cool Greg, go to YouTube and search Adi Shankar. Bootleg universe should be one that pops up. I don't know. It's my main concern with PlayStation vacating the spot, right? Is now are there going to be like seven conferences at once on Friday night or Monday night? Like is Limited Run Games going to run to it and Devolver run to it and the PC people, you know what I mean? Like we have to
hope nobody runs to it. It would be lovely if that spot was open.
You don't get to sleep or have you no.
Do you know happening. How many events I have to miss that night? How many showcases and hands-on opportunities and things that I don't get to do?
Sure, I don't even go to E3 because of it. Yeah, I mean, I stay up. I wasn't a joke. I stay up here and do the reacts.
No, I know that you guys are doing live streams that day. I would love it if that spot just stayed open.
It won't though.
No,
Corey's brought up the bootleg universe here. Can you click on videos? Did he upload anything recently? Is there a Devil May Cry when he's opening it? No. 2 weeks ago, he put up Conquest with Adi Shankar. Keep your eyes peeled, everybody. Adi's up to something. He's a cool dude. Final question of the day comes from Professor Woke. Andrea, what, if anything, can you tell us about your future plans to challenge the champ? I appreciate a good crossover event, and I gotta say, I'd be totally down for seeing the kind of funny world championship belt grace the What's Good Game Studio set with its presence.
I would love that as well.
I'll tell you what, as someone who keeps failing to dethrone Nick, I don't care. I'm anybody but Nick. You can go do it. You're good at games. So am I. But the problem is somehow he weasels out of it, and I don't understand it.
He's a squirrely guy.
He is.
I have some things that I've been contemplating, some ideas that I've been stewing on. I do like to drop by the morning show with my cat.
Yeah. And meowny in the bank, right?
Yeah. Meowny in the bank.
Yeah, yeah.
And kind of mess with him a little bit. Maybe throw him off throw him off his game. But as far as specifics, now I can't divulge. I don't want to give
him. As long as you're thinking about it, the nation turns its eyes to you. Someone has to stop Nick Scarpino.
Oh, I will stop him.
Thank
don't you.
You
worry.
Good.
Put your faith in me, everybody.
Professor Wokes finishes off by saying, lastly, in the spirit of Thanksgiving, I just want to say I am thankful for Kinda Funny, What's Good Games, and Hot Blip and Jump. Thank you for the amazing content you create and the positivity you inspire in our crazy little worlds.
Thank you. That's very kind
of
you.
We are thankful for you, Professor Woke, and every one of you Kinda Funny best friends who watch these shows and listen to these shows. You're amazing. We couldn't do it without you. We love you very much. Speaking of, let's spread the love. It's time to squad up. This is where one of you writes into kindoffunny.com/KFGD. Give me your name, username, platform of choice, and why you need help in a video game. I read it here. The best friends come and find you, and everybody plays games together. Today, David S. needs help. He needs help in Excel on the PC. And then he says, no, Path of Exile. You can hit him up on Steam at no big deal. EH, no big deal. All one word. Hey, KFGD crew, I'm looking for some best friends to help me complete 24 challenges in Path of Exile before the reset on December 4th. After watching the Path of Exile trailer for a new league betrayal that coincidentally bashes the hell out of Diablo Immortal. If you haven't seen it, it's worth a watch. I got back into Path of Exile. I didn't understand most of those words. If there are any Kinda Funny best friend exiles out there, please add me to play over the weekend. I will also be streaming it for the first time under the same name. Eh, no big deal. Funny final line from the trailer. Quote, they claim they are immortal. We must prove they are not. Love everything you guys do. And switched my prime to you guys during Extra Life. Thank you. No, thank you. And I have no idea what the hell you're talking about with this trailer. Or Path of Exiles. Path of Exiles put out like a diss track trailer about Diablo Immortal, I guess. Huh. Okay. Remember though, if you have Amazon Prime, you have Twitch Prime, and I know what you're thinking. You're driving a car right now. You don't care about Twitch. But again, you have Amazon Prime. I know you do. So, please give us... What the hell's happening? Please give us your free Twitch Prime subscription. Just log into your Prime. You probably already are. Then you go Twitch Prime. It'll take you there. You give it to Kinda Funny Vids. You have to give it every 30 days. Otherwise, Amazon sits on your money. I digress. If you didn't know, ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kinda Funny Games Daily. Andrew Renee's got more. The finger
first
is up.
First off, we've got your wrong to do.
Thank
don't,
you.
Don't
yes,
forget about
point.
That.
I won't lie to you. Just like last week when I couldn't even put on the shirt and tie, I am dead. The showcase is killing me.
Breaking on IGN, Devil May Cry series joins Castlevania in new multiverse from Adi Shankar.
Oh, so it's another cartoon?
It says the series will be developed by Castlevania executive producer Adi Shankar in an exclusive interview at IGN revealed that this series is now calling the bootleg multiverse, as you mentioned.
Sure.
Did not give any specifics in terms of what this all means for the series' overall story, but did inform us he acquired these Devil May Cry rights myself so the jabronis in Hollywood don't fuck this one up too.
That's Adi, all right.
Okay. Says that his financial investment should allow him more creative freedom as he begins to build this wildly ambitious multiverse of his. He says the attributes the Devil May Cry series announcement to the success of Castlevania, which he says really overperformed. It did crazy well. We immediately got greenlit for season 3. Thanking the fans who made this possible, Shankar said, I wouldn't have a job if it wasn't for the fans. All and right. then he, of course, shared the image on social media.
All right. More to come on what Adi's up to. Angie, you are correct. I am wrong. when we're wrong on the show, we ask people who are watching live on twitch.tv/kindoffunnygames to go to kindoffunny.com/you'rewrong and tell us what we screw up as we screw it up so we can set the record straight for everybody on youtube.com/kindoffunnygames and everybody watching or listening later on podcast services. What did we get wrong today?
Kyle literally says, not a year wrong, just a Thanksgiving thank you for all that you do. We'll miss you next week. Keep stuffing that turkey.
We'll see you on all the YouTubes and on the podcasts and on the Amazon stream on Friday.
Yeah. Kebabs, not a year wrong, but still important. Is the Amazon stream mentioned in housekeeping at all similar to the Amazon Prime Day stream earlier this year?
It is exactly the same thing. Yeah, yeah. Where we're going to go through, we're going to play video games that you can get deals on and show you tech. And I think last time around, they were like, hey, here's some cool headphones. And Nick wore them like Jordy LaForge. And that's the kind of content you can expect.
Perfect. Downey Downerson says, Xbox One S and original models run most games at 900p and upscale to 1080p. Cited from the Kotaku article as well as many Digital Foundry comparison videos.
I'm going to stop you right there. Cool, Greg. I think everybody's at lunch and the doorbell just rang.
However, I checked this link. That link is from 2013. So that would not include the Xbox One S, Downey Downerson.
Because
that was not released in
2013. You just got down, Downey.
So that being said, Maxter666 wrote in and said, hey, Greg and Andrea, the launch Xbox One did 900p. Xbox One S did 1080p with 4K? Blu-ray. 4K. Xbox One X does 2160p 4K with 4K Blu-ray. So those are the specs that you can get across the consoles. That being said, I still don't have too much information. Anani Mouse, which is kind of hilarious, linked Digital Foundry, which gave some popular games right now on Xbox One S resolutions. Red Dead is 864p. Odyssey is 1344 by 756, and Call of Duty is 1600 by 900 and dynamically downgrades to 1024 by 768. So, of course, none of those are 1080p, which is interesting. Did not realize. So that is helpful. Thank you.
Thank you.
Okay, let's see here. BMAC, this is editorializing.
Get out of here with that. We don't have time for that, BMAC.
Zaire wrote in with some more games that have a difference, but this list is from 2016, so we're not going to read that. An out today that we missed from Brian Sweeney. Civ 6 on Switch. Come on, Greg, one more turn.
Incorrect, motherfucker. I said that. Rewind the show, and then to make up for it, subscribe at the $15 level on patreon.com/kindoffunnygames.
I just had to set it up, you guys. This is interesting. Dave Zatar said, missed new date. Smite is coming to Switch starting January 29th in closed beta, along with cross-platform and progression, except PSN. Because they're still in beta with Fortnite. They haven't opened it up.
Yeah, there was a question about that. So that's how I was going to do that. But we just went so long.
But that's interesting. I would be interested to play Smite on my Switch. Anthrometal says, Andrea.
Is he talking shit?
Yeah, no, I'm just thinking. He says, you said Hideo Miyazaki is the godfather of survival horror, but he's the creator of Dark Souls. Did you mean Shinji Mikami, the creator of Resident Evil and Evil Within? Just clarifying. I think you were correct that I did get those two guys confused.
See, there's a good you're wrong. There's a good you're wrong.
I was like, these are both dark, scary games that I don't like. That would be it. Thank you for that clarification. This is exactly what you're wrong is for.
Yep.
That's how you do it. Then Adi Shankar wrote in with a YouTube video. Is that really Adi Shankar, you think? I don't know.
Adi, if it's really you, text me.
I don't think so. Because
text me right now, tough guy.
He's live on IGN right now.
Is he live or is it a...
He was being interviewed by Jackie on IGN when I was reading the story.
But it wasn't a VOD. Because you understand, you can record video and put them up at a later date.
Oh, you can?
Yeah.
I had no idea that technology was possible.
That's just a thing that happens.
I believe it's live.
Okay, I believe you.
Okay, and then this other person writes in about IGN. Ignacio Rojas, you're already on my shit list. You don't get to write in with editorializing anyway. Killer 7 is out on Steam today, Zaire writes. New dates are out today. Thank you. That is it.
Ladies and gentlemen, we made it to the weekend. Pour yourself a beer. Cool, Greg. We're getting beers after this.
Ooh, that sounds nice.
You want a beer too?
I could use a drink.
We're into it.
It's
everybody.
Been a whole day.
We're going to go in the back room. I'm going to make you a thumbnail. Or make everyone a thumbnail. Not you a thumbnail. I'll make you a thumbnail.
Put me
we're going to have a
thumbnail.
Drink. Okay. Fair. Sure. Done. That's done. Ladies and gentlemen, this has been Kind of Funny Games Daily. If you enjoyed it, please hit up patreon.com/kindoffunnygames. Kick us a few bucks. Like I said, if you're an Amazon Prime person, you have Twitch Prime. We'd love it if you gave it to us. We're taking next week off in terms of Kind of Funny Games Daily in the morning show. But remember, yes, all the podcasts you expect are up on YouTube and podcast services. And then, yes, an Amazon Black Friday stream on Friday. That makes sense. And then Thursday, Portillo's Meet and Greet in Chicago. If you're within 4,000 miles of Chicago, I expect you to be there.
So, coast to coast.
Pretty much. Until next time, ladies and gentlemen, it's been our pleasure to serve you.